Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final rose, tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Killed it. Good job.
He is Will Simmons.
I am not a virgin at all.
Really?
Yeah, despite Colton's issues.
And I'm Spencer Kitley, and this is After Reality. Welcome back. Appreciate you joining us after a week off. We had to take a quick breather because there is a lot going on out in the reality TV universe. Talking Bachelorette here on the pod. Check out the other pods this week. We'll be talking The Challenge, Final Reckoning season premiere. And then over on the Mixed Bag, we'll have all the latest on Big Brother. And, of course, the season premiere of one of our favorites, Florabama Shore.
Florabama.
Well, there is a lot going on out there on TV right now. We were just talking about it before we came on the air. It's tough to keep up.
Yep. On top of that, we have other shows we're watching and pressure to watch more shows. There's just too much TV to watch these days.
Pressure.
Yeah. It's weird that you get ridiculed if you're not watching something that literally just came out like 2 weeks ago or there's like three episodes for it.
What are you being ridiculed for not watching?
I got some friends watching this show called Yellowstone with Kevin Costner on like some random channel.
Who knew Kevin Costner was still acting?
Yeah. Somebody did. My buddy did. And he's like, oh, it's third episode. It's like legitimately like Breaking Bad. I'm like, I don't know about that. You're the first person to say anything about it.
I've never even heard of it.
Right. It's a scripted show, so that's not really your forte sometimes.
I watch a lot of scripted TV.
I know you do, but you're a reality buff. Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. That's a big one everyone says is really good right now. I believe it's on Amazon or Hulu.
Again, not aware.
Yep. I knew about that one. He's won, actually, I think a Golden Globe for that. Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of TV outside of just what we talk about.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of in a time frame right now where I'm not watching a ton of scripted stuff. I can really only think of a couple. So before we get started, let everybody know where they can find us online.
Follow us at After Reality Pod on Twitter. Like the After Reality TV Podcast page on Facebook. And follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast.
Yes, sir. And some new stuff coming soon. We teased it like a month ago, but coming actually soon now. Working on a new website. Working on a new logo, working on some new theme music. So we're excited to kind of ramp the podcast up. Let's go ahead and get into the Tourism Bureau of the Bahamas this week. Was turning the reins over to Becca and Chris Harrison.
I feel like we're about to be sold a timeshare.
And for you, there's this 42-inch TV.
Right. Just going to go to one meeting for 3 hours.
Yeah. No, more than 3 hours.
Bachelor cuts that in half.
We'll serve you some tuna salad sandwiches.
Right. Sitting out all day. Yeah. No big deal.
Anyhow, first time that the franchise has ever been to the Bahamas. I found that kind of surprising.
And also, why do we need to know that? Like, there's a lot of places in the world we haven't been to. Bahamas is just a standout.
It seems odd
that you haven't. It's so close.
Yeah. Seems odd that I thought that Becca's riding around on what I typed in the notes as a go-fast boat, if you've seen the movie Miami Vice. that's what they called the boats that they were running drugs from Cuba on.
Go-fast.
But
Miami Vice, the Michael Mann movie, right? With
Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx.
It's actually a lot better than everyone said it was.
I'm a sucker for a good mojito.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. The locale here is the Baja Mar, and it's the same old crap. Leaning over rail, staring at the ocean, blah, 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 blah.
Cool suites, everybody.
Anyhow, the guys had really sweet digs. Usually
the
lead has an amazing place to stay, and the guys, it's kind of like, whatever, let's put them in bunk beds.
Yeah, but I mean, no matter where they're going, they're still in this giant suite. They just make it appropriate for like 12 guys.
Yeah.
It's still nice. It's just not a single pad.
A lot nicer with six guys.
No, totally.
Anyhow.
Not sharing beds.
Chris Harrison has been getting a lot more screen time this season and last season after being peeled back for a few seasons. But it's kind of what happens when you get an Ari or you get a Becca who aren't a real big personality leading the show, and we got plenty of Chris Harrison this week. So anyhow, the guys this week that advance out of the six make it to hometowns, the final four, and the guys come in, we get to see them, and I'm immediately struck by, what is Will's wearing?
He stands out in a lot of his clothes.
This is next level for him, though. Leopard print, like silk shirt with somewhat matching shorts. The leopard print was a little different on the shorts.
Hey, do you like my shorts? Is my eyes aren't opening? Maybe it's because his eyes don't open all the way and he can't see what he's wearing.
I mean, that's a bold look.
It's quite bold. I mean, like, see, he's been pretty bold all season with his looks. That matching, like, jacket.
I was disappointed
shorts.
It wasn't a romper.
Right. Like, he had that romper thing earlier in the season. I mean, so.
We saw a romper on this season on from Fuller Bama Shore.
We definitely did.
Anyhow, Becca comes in to greet the guys. They're excited, but none of them get up to greet her.
Like, yeah, it's so weird.
It was really strange.
I also think at this point, like, they are so at odds with each other because it's like, you're going to steal my date kind of thing. Like, they don't know what to do.
Well, we heard about it more. I can't remember which guy talked about. I think it was Garrett, maybe, that talked about how awkward it was when Colton came back for all of them. It was like the first time it was like really real.
Yeah. It's got to be.
Anyhow, she lets everybody know there's 3 one-on-one dates this week and a group date with the other three, unheard-of three-on-one date, something that I don't claim to know everything about The Bachelor, but I know quite a bit more than the average bear. I don't remember ever having a three-on-one date with a single rose.
Unless it was like the porno version of The Bachelor.
Was Leo in it?
Ooh.
Was it on Cinemax?
Ooh, Skinamax. Yeah, so Colton gets the first one-on-one. I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised. I feel like he's in the front running in a lot of ways, so I'm not surprised he gets this. But
you know who was surprised?
Blake. Blake was very surprised. Poor Blake. That guy's about to lose his mind. Actually, I was texting Spencer before we get to the Colton date. Like, I was texting Spencer. I'm like, I think Blake was going to freak out. Like, I think he's going to freak out and leave.
Well, you texted me, Blake is losing this.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, he was losing the show. I didn't realize he was losing his mind.
Yeah, just absolutely pulling his hair out. Anyway, when he leaves, though, the guys are addressing whether he's actually going to talk about a secret, which, honestly, we kind of know what the secret is because they've kind of teased this throughout the season a little bit. Like, it's not like it's a huge secret.
Becca
doesn't know. And it's a personal choice he made. It's not because of a religious reason. It's not because he hasn't found the right person. He just chose not to do this yet.
And, well, it's hard to do when you're the hunky one.
Yeah.
A bronzed god with blonde hair, tan skin, a perfect smile.
Just a block of muscle. It's a good quote by Becca there. A lot of making out on the boat, like tons.
She loves to make out.
Makes Ari look kind of like pathetic.
Yeah, Ari's like a schoolboy.
Right. And it's different, too, because a guy wanting to make out with a girl is one thing, but a girl wanting to make out with a guy, they go all in. Like, guys making out with a girl, like, the girl's like, oh, I like this, or whatever, they go, like, she's going after them. And as a guy, you're like, cool.
She's like, when else in my life do I have free range to just do this?
And you're going
to
kiss me back. I know that.
Yeah. Kiss me and I'll kiss you back.
Ooh. He starts telling her that he doesn't have the world's most experienced in dating. But pretty quickly, in the middle of this conversation, as he starts getting into what he's there to tell her, a boat pulls up, this yellow boat, and
with a lively local gentleman.
Very, very lively. Who's basically there to teach him how to snorkel for conch.
I love how he pulls up, doesn't drop anchor, just jumps off the boat
into the water. Climbs in the boat, and here we go.
I'm like, is he going to be the captain now?
Yeah.
Bahamian.
Bahamian. This guy's like all kinds of jacked up on that cocaine.
or is he jacked up on the conch pistol?
Oh my god.
The Bahamian Viagra.
That's what he says. It's actually kind of cool though, because like after going to my honeymoon, we did a little snorkeling and I'm like, I never really knew what it was like to really snorkel. And I was like, I thought it was like, oh yeah, just going to keep my head above water. And it's like, no, you can actually go underwater with this stuff. So Colton going diving for conch, which that was a deep dive. That wasn't like a 10-foot jump in. It was like 20, 30 feet, it looked like.
Yeah.
He killed it.
I, I wouldn't be doing that.
I mean, like,
I'm a surface level snorkeler.
Right. Like, I would have tried to go somewhat down there, but I'm like, when I saw how far it was, like, nope, I'd be like 5 feet in, I'm out.
Yeah, when they're doing this, I wrote it in the notes here. I was like, seems like this is more of a scuba activity.
Right. Or a snuba activity.
Yeah.
That's very easily
we've
done.
We've seen snuba on this show.
Right. I've done snoobing. It's fun.
Yeah. take your little.
It feels like you're cheating, but it's easy. But honestly, I mean, like, this is pretty impressive, and Becca finds it very impressive all the way around.
She's so into Colton.
It's obnoxious, but also endearing, because, like, I feel like they really do have a strong connection.
I love it, though, when she says, I'm pretty sure he's getting this rose.
Yeah.
He would have to drop a pretty major bomb on me.
This is where you feel like the producing coming in. It's like, hey, what would it take for you not to do this, right?
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure, but...
Right.
If he dropped a major bomb on me, then maybe.
Yeah.
But he's still Tarzan.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still being made out with by her constantly. He does say, there is a conversation that I do want to have with you, because it could be a potential roadblock. And she gets not very excited about this. Pretty nervous. Which, that seems odd to say now.
Just remind, do you remember the episode of Fresh Prince? Oh. Or with Carlton, you'd be like, I just wanted to tell you I'm a Persian.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a deep cut there. Wow, Carlton.
To the Carlton.
Yeah. Funny enough, my buddy that is arranging our music, his girlfriend, Katie Price, was actually on...
Jordan, the
no.
Katie,
no.
from the UK, Katie
no,
Price?
No. No. She actually was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as a Girl Scout and met the whole crew. So,
I was a big Will Smith fan back in the day.
You probably saw her episode and have seen her before then.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, so Colton basically gets to the point that he has basically chosen his personal life, put his personal life behind for his professional life, because he wanted to be a professional football player. And he really wanted to focus on Colton. So he hasn't been in real relationships. He doesn't go on many dates. He's only really been in love like kind of once maybe. And basically she's just like, really?
Really?
Like, for real?
This is where we need a Kristen Doty sound.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
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 Really? I can only see her face when I hear that sound.
Sorry if you only watch The Bachelorette, not Vanderpump
Rules.
Yeah. Kristen Doty, cast member of Vanderpump Rules.
One of the worst ever. But anyway, basically, he just drops the...
He's a Persian.
I've got a V card that I'm holding on to pretty strong here. And I haven't played that hand yet. So, he's proud of it and thinks that...
And then there's just quiet.
Yeah.
And Becca asks if she can be excused for 1 second.
This is a long second.
It was a long time. Poor, like, felt really bad for the dude.
Because you know there's crew standing there, like, staring at him, like, ooh, what's happening with this guy? Guys,
and I'm kind of like, I opened up to her, I tell her something, and she's like, just leaves.
Screech, record stops. Yeah. Also,
yo,
I was
plug the stereo back in.
Yeah, I was chatting with a bunch of coworkers in this Bachelor channel we have at work, and they were like, she's been out there way too long. If she doesn't come back, she's the worst person ever. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of are terrible if you literally just shoot him down because of this, because you at least give him another shot regardless of what you think that situation is going to do for you in the long run.
Right.
You kind of have to. I mean, you do like the guy. She comes back, though, and kind of, you know, says it's cool. After he sweated it out for a good, like, field like 20, 30 minutes.
After she went and convinced herself how hot he was.
Right. That guy's pretty much a block of muscle.
Yeah.
She basically comes back and says she would never judge him.
He's a bronze god.
Right. She's been on the show before. Like, she doesn't want to be judged for these things as well, for her imperfections and different changes about her. So it's a fair point. She gives him the rose.
Moving on to hometowns.
He goes home with her. He's going to go home with her.
Yeah.
So that was like the biggest story.
I want to meet the people that made Colton Underwood.
Yeah.
Hey, so Garrett gets the second one-on-one. It was called Love is in the Air. They go out on a seaplane. And this is the most ho-hum date of the week. And really, you typically get these come this time of year.
Right.
Get these dates.
He doesn't have a virgin card to drop on her.
Yeah. He starts hearing about how it's been harder and harder since Park City, blah, blah, blah. And anyhow, she's talking to him about the hometown and asks if he has brought anyone home to see his family since his ex-wife. And I'm like, oh, she's cutting right to it. And I had totally, like, forgotten that he had an ex-wife.
So what if Colton would have said, I'm a virgin, and then next date he's like, I was actually married.
Yeah. How great would that have been?
I mean, like, what?
And she's like, okay, I'm down to two.
Yeah. Blake, where you at?
Yeah. So Garrett is beginning to fall in love with her. She's excited to meet his family. And then they go run into the ocean. And this brings back memories. Memories of Ben Flasnick and Courtney, Bug Robertson frolicking in the ocean. But more recently, memories of Claire and Wani Pobbs.
God.
Doing more than frolicking in the ocean.
They went into the ocean and swam in each other's loins. One thing Garrett does tell her, though, he's like, you brought it up earlier about him, like, when Colton came back with the rose, the whole, like, kind of air deflated when he walked in the room, because at this point it's so real, mm-hmm. and how it has been more difficult.
It's so real.
Okay, it's okay. But, like, I feel like Garrett, even though I feel like he's a real strong shot to win this point too. Like, I
do
feel
you?
Like she really likes him.
Do
and
you? Okay.
I think he fits the mold of things that she wants. I think his parents will be pretty interesting, too, because big family guy, you know, like, also find out, like, really what's going on with the ex kind of thing. I think he
really mentally abused by
right,
his ex?
Like,
or verbally abused?
Yeah.
Emotionally.
But also, like, is his family going to be, like, this, like, opposite of what her family's like kind of thing, you know? So, anyway, I think Garrett, honestly.
Yeah,
is
Uncle Gary going to have a place in Gary's family,
right
Garrett.
So, I don't know. I think this is a strong shot that he has a shot.
Yeah. And Blake got the next one. The third and final after he
oh
sweated it out.
He almost had a gun in his mouth if he didn't get this gun to this date. It's so weird because Blake hasn't had a one-on-one in a while, but it's not like she hasn't shown him attention when they've had time. He just got in his own head.
He had the second one-on-one. Garrett had the first one-on-one. I think he had the second one.
And, I mean, it's been a while. It's definitely been a while.
Week three?
Yeah. But they get the sweet little date where they get the one and only Baja Men.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, my God.
Who?
And it's almost...
Contractual obligation. We get to play our new song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They actually played three songs or something like that. I'm like, oh, they have more than one song.
Bumba.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't terrible.
I mean, it's not. I mean, like, that would have been music perfect for Bahamas, right? Like, that's what you kind of go for, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the tiki bar, and I'm going to hear Bumba and drink daiquiris.
This did remind me, though. There was this awesome video during the July 4th weekend that came up. It might be staged, but it was still pretty epic. I don't know if I sent it to you. But it's like this kid on this boat, and they're like with his family and another couple, and like he starts freaking out because he wants to catch the fish, not look at the fish in the bottom of the boat, and basically just starts arguing. He's like a 18-year-old kid. He starts arguing with the guy on the boat, and the guy tosses him in the water because he's talking back to him. But at one point, he's like, "I don't listen to more damn reggae. Put on some fucking rap music." And it just reminded me of this whole thing with Baja Man. I'm like, I don't want to hear any more reggae music.
Do you want to swim with the fish?
Yeah.
Or do you want to catch the fish?
It's a pretty epic video. You can find
I don't
that.
Want to catch the fish or swim with the fish.
I don't want to catch or swim with it. He's a loser kid. Anyway, he finally drops his whole act of...
sorry listeners, tangent. For this tangent.
Weird tangent. But basically, Blake drops his whole, like, oh, woe is me kind of thing. He basically fesses up how it's been tough for him and everything else, but and how she was questioning things. But she basically just reassures him that this is good to go.
She says, hey, are you ready to let the dogs out?
Yeah. Yeah. She does say how she understands now how Ari cared about more than one person. Not exactly the person you should be telling this to at this point.
Because,
yeah. Oh, Blake is already on the ledge.
Oh, thanks. That means I'm one of the guys.
So who am I tasting in my mouth? Yeah.
Is that Garrett's? What did Garrett have for dinner last night? Is that steak I taste?
Right. Is that a cold sore? Weird. We do find out from Blake, though, that he's had a very interesting parental relationship.
I want to say one of the highlights of the season, but
no.
it's definitely one of the...
A standout moment.
It's definitely one of the top five standout moments of the season, this whole revelation.
Right.
Like... I felt bad for this guy.
Yeah.
His parents divorced when I thought it was odd that he didn't know exactly when this happened.
15, 16. Yeah.
I'm like, wouldn't that be like seared into your brain? Like, right. Okay, I was a freshman or I was a sophomore in high school, and when this was happening, his mom was cheating on his dad with Blake's basketball coach / English teacher.
So why do you have to bring up both subjects? Why can't you just be a basketball coach? Why do you have to be the English teacher on top of it?
Well, maybe he's playing basketball for him, and he's in his class. And
regardless, you're still around this guy.
You got eight periods, and you got to sit with this guy twice.
And he's like, go get him, kid. Yeah. Score some more baskets.
Roll the ball out there like right. I rolled my balls out there.
Whoa. Does your mom cheer for you in English class, too?
Yeah, makes you wonder, like, how did this come about? Like, is there, like, a parent-teacher conference?
Do you want to assume that his mom's a whore? Not really. It's a terrible thing to say. She probably was in a loveless marriage. She found the nearest guy, and it happened to be his basketball/English teacher.
Sydney, your mom was a slut whore dog.
Same time, the way he said it, though, it was like, he was my basketball coach in English. He was, she had an affair with my basketball coach in English teacher. I was like, two people? Wow.
It was a husband and wife.
Miss Blake gets around. Yeah, I was like, that's interesting.
I thought it was weird how he was learning things about what was going on in his own life from the community.
That's also an interesting way to put it, the community.
Like,
well, how many people are you talking to?
He's from Colorado, right? He's not from Utah.
Right, Colorado.
The community.
He found out his mom was moving into an apartment from somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
We saw his mom... It had to have been his mom because it looked like him in the scenes from the next.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what that relationship's like.
Sure. I mean, Becca only recently hasn't had a full family because her dad passed away. So I think the family thing is going to be pretty key for her to like have like a real solid family background, which Blake has a great shot at this, but...
And he tells her he's in love with her.
Yeah.
And her response, you're going to make my heart burst. But then to us, we've been saying this all season. I think at this point in time, this ball game is over.
Right.
She calls the date the best day ever. Really no way this is going wrong. Or really no way this goes wrong. And all she wants to do, she tells us, the viewer, all I want to do is tell him I'm in love with him. We don't get this about the other dudes.
Nope. Very true. I also think that it's too heavy-handed. I feel like we're getting too much too early.
She's being too heavy-handed with us?
Yeah. Like, she's basically... We're getting... Yeah, right. Yeah. I think she's giving us too much information that it seems too obvious at this point.
Yeah, they didn't have to put that in the cut, did they?
I mean, they didn't have to, but they did.
But they still have time to pull the whole switcheroo on us and then switch totally. Back the other way, too.
This hometown date could be a disaster. Like, his mom and dad could, like, be crazy.
They're going to sell us on him, and then they're going to drag him under, and then they're going to resell us on him again.
Right.
Wills, Jason, and long-haired Leo.
The lion.
3-on-1. And I thought it was very telling how confident Jason was going to this and how the other two guys were dreading it. And Jason commented on it.
Yeah.
Like, he hops out and he's, like, got a spring in his step. He's happy. He actually seems like a – like, I think we talked about this in the last podcast. Like, if she's going to, like, just – I want to marry one of these guys, that's the guy you should be marry that guy.
He's ready. There's no ifs, ands. Like, the guy's going to be good for it. Like, good to go.
And – I like the guy.
Yeah, I do too.
Anyhow, they on this date, it's a weird beach volleyball playing 2-on-2 to get things going. And I'm really trying to figure out. Jason's making out with her what seems to be only feet away from the other two guys. Leo sees it happen and Will's comments, "Don't look, bro."
I can't, my eyes only half open.
That's what he was saying. Don't look. I got my. I can't see it. I don't want you to see it.
I can't see shit, man.
Anyhow, she makes out with Wills. Finds some more common ground with Wills, and I wrote this in the notes, Will, and tell me if you agree with this. this really feels like one of the most competitive, like, final six groups in recent memory, or maybe in a, maybe ever. Like, this is a really solid, like, final six group.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, honestly, and I think this has been the strongest pairing of guys. Like, all these guys here have all been there for a reason. It's not like some of these other guys. Like, Leo,
was
we don't
it a
get,
right reason?
Right. And Leo, like, one of the only guys here that we haven't seen much of, but we also agreed that there isn't really a reason to get rid of him because there's other guys we can
get
rid
of.
Well,
we did have that chemistry-less airplane flight last week.
Sure. But same time, like, there's been other guys like Chris that needed to go a lot sooner that lasted. Lincoln lasted way too long.
You mean two hairline Chris?
Yeah. So it's like this grouping here, though, all seems like super strong candidates, and that's why I think this is probably coming off a little more boring of a season, is because these guys are actually there kind of for the right reasons and aren't just fighting each other for drama. I said it.
The Soulja Boy with the right reasons. Let's get it, guys. Let's go. You look pimp. We won't make anybody listen to it.
Thank God.
Anyhow.
So moving on.
Yeah. So they're on this beach for the entire date. It's almost like a 2-on-1 where you're gonna leave someone there.
Yeah.
Actually, they weren't there on the entire time. Because Leo goes home,
right?
And there's just waves crashing in the sound at it, and it's kind of like the crashing of his relationship as he gets dumped.
Felt bad, but also he brought it up too. Like, he's not there with like some of those other guys. He was pretty honest with it too. I mean, it's one of those things where like he sticks around for another week or two, maybe it turns into something. But he even admitted that this wasn't where he needed to be.
And then right about here is where we were preempted for the second time this season by like a presidential address.
Yep.
This season's had its work cut out between like being preempted twice, starting on a holiday on Memorial Day. It's been a kind of a different season, like in a season like kind of tough to get your footing a little bit.
Yeah. Same time, I don't feel like we missed a whole lot by missing the rest of this date. Like,
no,
we kind of agreed that Jason has been like in the top four for the last few weeks anyway.
Yeah, like we called the top four 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Will's great candidate. He's really cool in the show. Like, he had a lot of personality, but ultimately did not see that happening. But he was great for the show. Enjoyed watching him. But yeah, when he leaves, it's kind of like, you know, we get back to it and he's crying.
No doubt we see Will's in Playa Escondida.
Yeah, he's actually, I think he's on the list. I saw the list. He's updated.
Well, oh, they've updated the list?
I think so. Yeah, somebody posted that he's on the list now.
Hmm.
But yeah, we cut back to Will's basically crying. Jason got the rose. He's bound for Playa Escondida.
Yeah. And quite a bit to see there in the scenes from the next.
Yeah, we going to Buffalo with Jason, Colorado with Blake and Colton. Garrett, he lives in Reno, I think, but I'm not sure where he's from.
The Reno.
We also get a little sneak peek of Miss Tia showing back up, and this time she has something she has to tell Becca.
I thought this was really interesting. Like, one, I presume they're all going to, I think they all go to Buffalo from kind of what I've pieced together. And why? And what is Tia telling her that something makes her sick? Like, I don't think it has anything to do with Colton, unless she's learned something in the couple months since she's last seen Becca, probably at that point.
Yeah.
Is it possible? I don't think it is, because the stuff didn't come out until after the show started to air, where there was controversy around some of Garrett's social media stuff.
Yeah, I think the timeline.
But I don't think the timeline meshes well with a probably like late April, early May time frame for that.
Plus, that's not something that's like, that's not like Lincoln with his like past like of assaulting women. Like, that's not the same extreme.
I don't know what it could be.
Honestly, I think it's Colton. I think it's a Colton thing. I think maybe Tia might even say something like, I have feelings, or like, I think it's about Colton. I just don't think there's any other way around it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if
she... why is she there?
I'm wondering if she, like, kind of went back and learned some more. Maybe it's like, oh, after he dated me, and then he went and dated Allie Raisman, it makes me sick that he's chasing, like,
fame
or something.
Well, also the conversation she had with Tia was pretty vague because Tia really didn't say anything. She was just like
meaning on the pedicure date.
Yeah, like I feel like that was an opportunity you could have said whatever you wanted and knock it out then. So I don't know if it's more of a stage moment where we're like, that's why we're bringing Tia back so she can dish out a little more where she's at, and she was maybe held back the first time. I don't know. It just seems weird you'd wait till this far into it to do this, because it's like, are you doing this for the show, or is this actually something that's happening?
Yeah. So, who gets cut before Fantasy Suites?
Colton.
I would say the same.
Who? Wow, so we agreed on almost everything this season, yeah. Which is so weird.
Well, like,
I think it's that cut and dry, though.
I think there was something in the preview where he was like talking to Chris Harrison. I was like, well, can you tell me about what's expected of the Fantasy Suite?
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
Anyhow.
Huh. That's interesting because I've read in other places saying how the Fantasy Suite is not usually what it all cracks up to be.
Unless you're Nick Vial.
Right.
Or Caitlin Bristow.
Sure.
Or L.A. Fedotowsky. Or all of them. Bob Guinea. Anyhow.
Bob Guinea. Who I worked with. Ever tell you this? I worked with him on a show.
Oh, really? Was it like when he was doing like the home improvement type stuff?
He was actually the host of this. It was Clay Newbill who actually did. He left Real World to do Road Rules. He started Road Rules. He's the guy for Road Rules. He started the show. It was a pilot for Lifetime about. It's called The In-Laws. It was a camping show that basically two families had to go camp with their in-laws, and they won like basically a wedding trip. And Bob Guinea was the frickin' host of this thing with his wife.
The host with the most.
And I didn't watch the show at all. Just like, oh, you're that guy from The Bachelor.
Okay, so, and who's your leader in the clubhouse?
I'm going to say Blake based off the show, but I think Garrett is like 1A would be. Jason's not far behind either, but.
I think it's Blake. And who is your pick right now for The Bachelor?
Oh, man.
Assuming it comes off of this cast.
You know, I could see Jason being that guy. He fits a lot of the bill, right?
With a haircut.
Yeah. If everyone gives him shit about that haircut, I think it's fine. He just likes a greasy Wall Street guy, Gordon Gekko.
That lives in Seattle.
He's from Buffalo, though.
Yeah, but he lives in Seattle.
Well, that's fine. He can live wherever he wants with that haircut.
He should have something more grungy.
At least he doesn't have two jeans with two knees cut out like Chris.
Chris Soules?
No, Chris. Two-part Chris or whatever.
Two hairline Chris?
Yeah.
Hey guys, so Jason's your pick?
I'd say, yeah. I don't think Colton's the Bachelor, just based on what I know about other things. Garrett, probably not. I mean, like, unless it's not Blake.
Like, if Blake doesn't win, I think Blake's the Bachelor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think Blake has the front runner at this point. Yeah. So if that's the case, I can't say Blake again.
Yeah. Like, if Blake doesn't win, Blake's the Bachelor. I think it's between, it's probably Jason, but I think that you could build an interesting narrative around Colton.
Right.
Assuming some scud doesn't drop.
Right. Well, just don't look in Reality Steve's page.
Yeah. And we do know.
Do we?
we know Colton's in Paradise.
Right. Spoiler.
Which. Only one person has ever been to Paradise and become the Bachelor, and that's Nick Vial.
Right.
That was after three seasons.
Right. He was three times a loser.
So
I think we're in for an interesting finale because I feel like it's three dudes that could easily win this based on who she is and where these guys are. But I think if a combination of one guy winning eliminates the other guys from being Bachelors kind of thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Blake wins, Blake's the best Bachelor option. He's also probably the best one to win. If he doesn't win, if he wins, then I think Jason becomes the best option. I just don't think Colton's going to be that guy.
They could build an interesting plot line around it, though, right?
Totally. But
like, what's going to happen in the fantasy suite?
Oh, my, you have to be a virgin for the next year. And like, that just seems like a stretch.
Like, they sign a contract and be like, all right, if you're the Bachelor.
To wear a chastity belt.
Oh,
a metal condom around you on you all the time. Yeah. So.
All right, before we wrap it up, like they will in the fantasy suite, you have Colton remaining on your Fantasy Four reality team. That's fantasy, the numeral 4 reality.com.
Thanks, Matt Gray.
Matt was supposed to be on with us tonight, stood us up. He didn't stand us up.
He canceled.
Sorry, Matt. We'll have him on again soon.
You basically have the three best players.
I have
best
the three guys
that
are projecting
Colton.
Plus a 1,500-point lead. So I'm feeling pretty good about the season.
I hate you.
You have a better team. Anyhow, check out.
I want to win the Bachelor at some point.
Check out Fantasy for Reality. Challenge games open. Of course, Paradise game will be coming soon. Paradise is less than a month away, Will.
We have three more weeks of Bachelorette?
Four more weeks.
Jesus. So basically it's going to end and begin.
Because we have hometowns, we have fantasy suites, we have women tell all, and the final.
Cool. And we all know it gets really boring by the end of this, so hopefully this will...
The women tell all, or the men tell all could pop off with Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're always, like, never as great as you hope it is.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyhow, before we get out of here, remind everybody where they can find us online.
If you're not on Twitter, you should be. Follow us at After Reality Pod. Get on that Facebook page at like the After Reality TV podcast page. And then find us on our Gram at After Reality Podcast. You can find me at iFellOver45.
On the Twitter and on the Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at Spencer Kitley. That is all one word. And until we meet again, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.